Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hey there, happy Monday to my Patreon subscribers who are listening to this first and ad-free in the week. Happy Thursday to the rest of you. What an incredible week. I have quite a few news items, pop culture items to talk about, but man, 90 Day Fiancé is back. Can we just have a group hug, bring everyone, all cultures of the world together? Happily Ever After is not my favorite iteration of the show, but come on, beggars cannot be choosers. I will take anything 90 Day Fiancé I can get. First, let's see what's going on in the shallow end of the news. We're talking about Britney, this hashtag Free Britney. You heard about it last week. It's getting really dark. The last thing I saw was Britney being released this past weekend, and she's able to see her boys. Also, David LaChapelle, I think I'm saying his last name correctly. I knew I heard that name before, much like most of you right now, where you're like, okay, how do I know that name? Well, he's this famous photographer, and he made statements on two different fan accounts, and this is all from the Britney's Gram podcast. He's basically saying that he always knew something was off with Britney since the first time he met her when she was 17. I believe he did two recent, I don't know if they were photography shoots or video shoots, doesn't matter. Basically, he's saying she always wanted to be photographed or seen as a victim. She was in a cage for one of these things where he really wanted her to be a fearless tigress, but she wanted to be in a cage. And for another photo shoot or video shoot, she was saying that she wanted to die over and over, that she wanted to die in this video. So yeah, it's pretty dark. And I started really looking at this like, holy shit, well, this guy really knows her. And he's making statements on accounts with the hashtag Free Britney hashtag on it. It must mean something. But then I started thinking, using my noodle, David LaChapelle, let's just think about this. He did that iconic Rolling Stone cover of Britney when she was only 17. You're probably picturing it right now where it was like a bird's eye view looking down on her. A little risque. It's not something I would allow my daughter to do when she was 17. Even if you're thinking, Jody, you know what, you're crazy, maybe just put this in the back of your mind. I started going through his Instagram and I realized that he is pro Michael Jackson. He portrays him in photographs as a saint. He insinuates that his accusers are greedy devils. And there's also some Kardashian Kanye kind of worship stuff. So it's not necessarily my taste. I don't think I have the same viewpoint as him. But regardless of that, or is it irregardless? Whatever. I still think the Britney conservatorship needs to have renewal dates or something. It's got to be looked at. Even marriages can be undone. So if you can undo that with the law and you're talking property, kids, taxes, all that kind of stuff, a conservatorship, I don't think that's a stretch to say it needs to be looked at every couple years. All right, moving on from Britney. Last week, we talked about possible royal baby names, and this week, we are on royal baby watch. At the time I'm recording this, we are one day past Meghan's due date, so anytime now, I'll be getting the CNN alert, and I will be freaking the hell out, and I will be crying. Now, some of my real-life friends and I, my besties, if you will, we are convinced that there is going to be, wait for it, put your food down if you're eating, we're convinced there's going to be some sort of placenta involvement. It might be placenta art. It might be a placenta smoothie or those encapsulated placenta pills that they make. Maybe a placenta steaming with her good friend Goopy Gwyneth. But there's going to be something with the placenta. Place your bets. And again, all of this speculation, it's coming from a place of jealousy. I really don't hate Meghan Markle. I am just jealous of her. It runs deep in my DNA. Envy and jealousy does. Back in the day, I used to envy who I considered the rich kids, who got the Garfield Trapper Keepers and the one item I've always wanted, and I haven't even bought it for myself as an adult. I probably should and just put it on my desk in my office. I always wanted and had full on like blood pulsing through my temples, jealousy for those kids who had the Crayola crayons, like the big box, that big rectangle with the built-in sharpener. I always wanted one of those things. And that's like Meghan Markle to me. Okay. I just want to be a princess. I want to have my princess placenta talked about and not be berated by the baggers at the grocery store. That's the kind of person. This is the contrast between Meghan's life and my life and why I have such a loving animosity toward her. I swear to God, I just collect the strangest people wherever I go. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, oh gosh, take my pick. The woman at the grocery store who stopped me by the bananas, like out of nowhere, asking if I wanted an extra refrigerator because she was remodeling her kitchen. And by the looks of her, and I'm not judging anyone because, listen, I wear vintage Old Navy when I leave the house, every time I leave the house. This woman wasn't like, I could tell she wasn't remodeling her McMansion. It's probably more of a city ordinance kind of reno. And this woman wanted to give me the refrigerator that she probably had her dead frozen cats in. I've also had a woman stop me over potatoes around Thanksgiving time. She kindly gave me her recipe for mashed potatoes, told me how she freezes individual portions for her adult son. And then I also got to hear about her oncologist and how she is waiting for a phone call back because she has some blood work done. Like, I cannot get away from it. I even had one of the baggers stand next to me, and she does this almost every time, and she doesn't do it to anyone else. She stands right next to me as I am unloading my cart into my car, and I tell her, like, I'll return the cart, I'll go and bring it up there, go take a break. Like, I'm offering to work her shift, but instead she stands next to me as I'm unloading my cart. On Thanksgiving, for example, actually, I think this was the same trip where I got the full medical rundown from the potato lady. I was heaving and throwing my 24-pound turkey, sweating buckets, okay? It's cold in Chicago in November, and I'm sweating because, like a CrossFit workout with groceries, trying to get the stuff in the cart, there was just too much pressure, eyes on me. And then, okay, back to the bagger this weekend, I'm trying not to take it personally because I'm fairly certain this guy had some kind of special needs, but I'm only human, okay? The guy's bagging my stuff and he's grumbling. He's looking off to and fro. And I hear him saying something like, ridiculous. And he's looking at his watch and he's saying 15 minutes and all this kind of stuff. And I'm always my cheerful asshole self. I'm like Buddy the Elf wherever I go because I'm paranoid that people are going to think I'm rude or that I'm going to come off like my mom by, you know, needing to use a coupon or something like that. So I'm an asshole and I'm like, oh, is it almost quitting time? Oh yeah, it's pretty rainy out. It's busy in here today. And then he grumbles something. But at this point, I'm doing the little chip reader thing and I'm trying to do as quickly as possible so no one gets upset at me. I basically live my life like I am going to the soup Nazi store in Seinfeld wherever I go. Okay, just I stick by the rules. So I'm taking my cart and as I'm pushing away, I hear the bagger look at the teenage cashier and he says, ugh, I hope we don't get any more like this one. And then he looks at me and says, you must have a big family. And then he walks away. And you know me, I'm still standing there smiling like, sorry, I'm sorry, I bought so many things. Yeah, we're having people over, you know, teenagers, they love to eat. Now, we weren't really having people over, and I only have two small kids, one of whom eats primarily strawberries and carrots. Like, she barely eats. She may have been switched at birth. But the point is, what am I supposed to say? Sometimes I enjoy my teriyaki beef jerky, and the Funyuns are for my kids, and yes, we go through a lot of Greek yogurt. I'm pro-probiotics. I mean, what the fuck? Okay, where was I? Something about Meghan Markle. All right, well, whatever it is, I bet she does not get carb shamed like I do. Now, speaking of carb lovers, I'm getting back on track here. A little PTSD from the grocery store. Update from one of our very own apples, apples on the ground, my girl Jennifer. She lives close to David and Annie's motherfucking firehouse and the storage facility where they are currently living in this past, what was it, like, where am I now, whatever the hell. So she drives by the motherfucking firehouse, the storage facility, which is called Fort Lockers. And guess what? Fort Lockers is closed down, as is Chris's restaurant that he opened not too long ago called Fort Knockers. Get it? But I'm bumching. It's a place like Hooters. Waitresses have big boobs. Yeah. Well, they are both closed. Now, quite a few of you already know about Chris's alleged shady business dealings and his runs for local government. Now, knowing that, I think it would be interesting to know if Chris stopped giving David money because of Nikki or because he himself doesn't have any to give. All right, what else? The case of Jussie Smollett. It is still not over. I don't know if this is national news or if this is just local news because I'm outside Chicago, but the prosecutor who was working for the city of Chicago, Kim Fox Double X, because she's double foxy, she is being subpoenaed on how she handled the case because all of those charges were dropped against Jussie Smollett. I'm all about this case because it seems bizarre that after all of this evidence that came out and the time and taxpayers' money that was wasted, that everything would be dropped. I have a hard time believing that if this was just Joe Schmo off the street, they would have just let it go like that. I don't believe it. I kind of am thinking that this is probably a payout thing. And if it is, then I am all for call the crooks out on the carpet, just like what is going on with this Operation Varsity Blues, which I can't get enough of. But there's so much of it that might have to be like a Patreon episode or something. In other legal news, I think we're going to hear a lot more about this case. It's on UK Daily Mail today. It's gross, but it's really interesting. This Coca-Cola billionaire, his name is something like Alki, it's A-L-K-I, maybe it's pronounced Alki, whatever. Alki David was ordered to pay $11 million to a woman who claims to have been sexually harassed and assaulted by him. This woman was a former accountant for two of his companies that he owns, and the case got so heated that in the courtroom, this guy, Alki, was screaming at her lawyers, yelling at him to just take his wallet. He's screaming things at her in the courtroom, and then her attorneys got heated. It just sounds like, actually, it would sound like the perfect E! News. Remember when they did that? Speaking of Michael Jackson. When they did that Michael Jackson reenactment thing, I want to see this court proceeding reenacted in real time with actors. I'd be all over that shit. Now, with all that bad news, I want to talk about what I think is just one of the most awesome, inspiring, brave, God, I love today's youth millennials moments. And that is Matt Eason, graduate of Brigham Young University. He's the valedictorian and he's doing a speech and he came out and announced that he is gay. I just fucking loved it. Now, for those of you who don't know too much about BYU, it was founded by, okay, we're not supposed to say Mormons anymore, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In their code of conduct, it does not allow same-sex relationships. So the fact that he came out during his, it's not called valedictorian speech. Okay, I can't even say valedictorian. So clearly, I was not a valedictorian. But during his speech, he was just so inclusive and articulate. And he talked about mental illness and people with disabilities. And although my knowledge of the church is limited to really what I know about the Sister Wives, I think Mr. Matt Eason really represented his religion well, whether they believe the same things that he believes or not. Well, I believe it is time to send a very special Patreon thank you to Carrie, Chris, Lori, and Linda. Welcome to the Patreon family. Welcome to the Baddest Apples. And if you are interested in joining Patreon, which I think you should, because not only do you get my love and thanks, you also get some pretty amazing perks, bonus episodes, stickers, keychains, an invite to the Baddest Apples Facebook group, ad-free episodes, the list goes on and on. So check that out. That's patreon.com/realityvpod. And again, thank you, Carrie, Chris, Lori, Linda, all of the existing Patreon members. You are making this podcast that you're listening to right here for free possible. So thank you. This week on Patreon, and this is backed by popular demand. I've had so many people ask me to do this again. I'm going to take one for the team and I'm going to listen to Audrey and Jeremy Roloff's podcast once again with special guests, Jeremy and Ginger Vuolo. Those are the douchebags from Counting On. Ginger is one of the Duggars. It's all about their purity and their marriage and their expertise on being parents because, you know, they each have one baby that's, I don't even think, a year old. And also how they are going to live a love letter life. So yeah, check that out. Also on Total Request Podcast, that's patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. This week, we're reviewing Bad Girls Club. And I promise you, Amanda and I were neither drinking nor high, but it is the craziest, most bizarre episode. We hung up and we're like, holy shit, what just happened? I don't know if there was like helium in the air, but we just went off the rails. So tune into that one. It's one that's going to go down in history. Also on Moms on the Rocks, we are talking all about our love affair with the Hulu show Pen 15. I have not found a show this laugh out loud funny, truly laugh out loud funny. Oh my God, it's so amazing. Okay, Freaks and Geeks to me, the old show Freaks and Geeks, that is just iconic and hysterical. And I think Pen 15 is even funnier than that. Go watch it. If you don't have Hulu, ask a friend to borrow their password, or if you're allowed to do that. Whatever it takes, you gotta watch this show. I'm gonna warn you, episode 3, it's on them discovering and enjoying their blossoming bodies. It is very uncomfortable to watch. So, okay, watch episode 3, but don't give up after that. Don't think, oh God, I don't think I could take this show. This is a little over the top. Just trust me, ride the wave, and I dare you to watch episode 5 about the thong without just screaming with laughter. Check in with me after episode 5, and I'll be able to tell if we could be best friends or not. All right, enough of this. Gather around the campfire. Let's all be nice. Let's get all salty with the 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Normally this time of year, I'm firing up the grill and enjoying the change in what's become the same monotonous weekly dinner rotation. Like most of you, Mother Nature has changed her mind this year and gifted us with yet another winter and weeks of endless rain. Thank God I have the geniuses at Green Chef to help me out. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well truly affordable and allows you to mix things up and discover new recipes and flavors you'll love. Green Chef makes the cooking part easy because they work around your lifestyle, tastes, and even diet. Meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, Mediterranean, heart smart, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, and the Huff family favorite, omnivore. The pesto pork patties are always a favorite in this house, but last night's portobello gyros were so delicious. Dave would have bathed in the sauce. It was so good, and my picky kids devoured the naan bread. Tonight's meal is chicken and red pepper alfredo. And come on, who doesn't love Alfredo? Green Chef pre-measures all of my ingredients and spices, so it makes dinner prep a breeze, especially on long days when I don't have time to plan anything. And I love that I can switch up our meal plan whenever we want. If I see items from the keto menu that I want to try, which I always do because they have some really delicious looking proteins, it's just one click to switch it up and boom, hand-picked items delivered right to my door. Plus, you can modify your subscription at any time, so it's honestly a no-brainer way to eat healthy, high-quality meals. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/realityTV. One more time, for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/realityTV. The first episode of the season is entitled After the Dust Settles. And first, we're not going to talk about Ashley and Jay. I'm not planning on even recapping these assholes this season because everything that comes out of both of their mouths is all bullshit. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just go on Instagram, go to Starcasm, go to anything. They're all full of shit. None of their story about them breaking up, getting back together, I don't believe any of it. And if they fuck with my show and get 90 Day Fiancé off the air because they're pulling all this fake shit, I'm going to be fucking livid. Like my mom, Carol, going through my drawers at 10 o'clock at night and realizing I have only folded the top shirt in the pile and everything else is messed up underneath it. I will take that drawer out, I will dump it, and I will make Ashley and Jay fold it until it looks perfect. I don't care if they're tired at school tomorrow. Okay, so moving on from Ashley and Jay, you know who I gotta talk about first? Nicole and Azen. Oh, look! May is playing all by herself near a massive open body of water with no lifeguard on duty. Sweet Jesus. I was actually pleasantly shocked Nicole didn't chuck that camel into the ocean and tell May to swim after it to see if it could float. You know, maybe a little science project in the curriculum. Oh, what? You didn't see how Nicole homeschools now? I mean, we all watched the episode, right? She's got the whiteboard from Target. I'm sure she reviews her ABCs every day. Make sure May knows her phone number. Make sure she knows her address. Where? Well, hold on a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. May is always on the monkey backpack, so there's no chance for getting lost. You know what? They probably skipped the ABCs. They skipped all that. They're probably on, like, polynomials and the Renaissance. God, silly me. Now, despite Nicole being, you know, so busy in her studies and making sure that May's iPad, iPhone, Kindle, tablet, and gizmo watch and TV remotes are charged, Nicole's been pretty busy reconciling with Azin and frying the ever-loving fuck out of her hair. Okay, we're coming hot off a season of Sister Wives where we saw some follicular homicide by Cody Brown. So TLC doubling down by showing us Nicole's bleach blonde hair that blends in with her frickin' skin tone is just downright, dare I say, criminal. I mean, at least give us one of those black screen of doom warnings before you got Nicole on there looking like a freaking albino rat on the screen. Jesus. Okay, now listen, before you think I'm being too harsh on Nicole, I get it. However, number one, this is a snarky podcast. And number two, I'm just going to say it, Nicole's a fucking liar. She can lie to her family's faces time and time again, ask them to fly across the globe at a moment's notice, and then, you know, tell them to cancel their flights and lose all their money at a moment's notice, and then take advantage of their generosity in giving her places to live and helping her care for her daughter. We have to remember, Nicole is not a teenager. She's not a victim of anything except her being stubborn. It's her own fault. She's a victim of her own bad decision making. And it's even worse because she's dragging little Dora the Explorer in her backpack along for the ride. And let's not forget, she's got her new daddy kissing all over her and changing her diapers. Now, did I mention there never was a beauty shop? We all pretty much assumed that at the time. But also, let's take a moment and look at Azin's hair. He certainly isn't using Moroccan oil like May is using, you know, bought using his retailer discount. So Nicole is just a narcissistic, pathological liar, and she's got that baby face, and she's got May along on her side, so her family caves to her, and they feel obligated to swoop in because of May, and people who don't know her well look at her baby face and her little baby talk and the way she shrugs her shoulders, and they give in to her. I'm hoping that her brother, Brendan Dassey, he's not really Brendan Dassey, by the way. Some people were really confused when I was talking about this. I just think her younger brother looks exactly like Brendan Dassey from Making a Murderer, the young kid who is absolutely innocent, who's still in prison. Anyhow, I hope that her younger brother, Brendan Dassey, and this new sister in the picture, I hope they show her some tough love and they lay down the law just like the smart sister that we met in the first season. And her stepdad. We all love her stepdad. All right, let's move on to Elizabeth and Andre. Holy Moldova. Andre looked like he was scoping at that pool to see if he could bury a dead body underneath it. I don't know if it's like my eyes have not adjusted back to him yet or what, but Andre's Moldovianness has increased, like, dramatically, right? Like, his chest seems more barrel-like. He's been working out in the fields. His complexion is very, like, he's been hiding from a potential Chernobyl. Like, he just looks rough. He looks like he has been hardened, which would make sense because, hi, Libby. Guess what? She's pregnant. Or actually, as Andre says,
we're pregnant.
Okay, first of all, I hate that. You are not pregnant. She is pregnant. You are expecting a baby with her. And second of all, stop smiling because you look even scarier with your mouth open wider. Now, we find out that this pregnancy was not planned. Gee, sure came at the perfect time to be cast for a new season of 90 Day Fiancé and to score a new house rent-free from daddy, right? Just in time for Baby Makes 3. Is it bad that I kind of think Elizabeth may have kind of, sort of, totally didn't try to prevent this pregnancy? Like, I don't think she got pregnant for the show necessarily, but Elizabeth just strikes me as the kind of gal who thinks it's like really cute to fall in love and hurry up and get married and, oh my God, baby, I'm pregnant. Quick, I need to buy every romper in Florida. Do you see it? Well, there's a storm a-brewing this season, not only because, of course, there are going to be strings attached when anyone gifts you a home, a structure, but also because Elizabeth continues to stir the pot endlessly. When she's with her family, she throws stuff out like, well, Andre has his truck driver's license, but he hasn't found a job, so it's like all on me. I'm the breadwinner, and Andre doesn't want you guys around our baby, so yeah, that's gonna go over real well with any family, you fucking idiot. But Elizabeth loves it. She loves the drama, and I said this at the end of last season. She loves feeling like she's this twee little girly victim. I'm stuck in the middle. What should I do? Because everyone loves me and fighting over me. And it goes the other way, too, because as soon as she's out of sight of Becky with the good hair sister and the former fly girl sister and the sister-in-law who, I forgot how I compared her last time. I'll just say she is, if Elizabeth's sisters are a rose gold iPhone, I don't know what number we're on. Let's just say a rose gold iPhone 8. This sister-in-law would be a pink Razor phone. You with me? You get the vibe? All right. So Elizabeth talks shit about them too. Like they're all overbearing and they never back down and they want to tell me what to do. I don't want them in all my business. Sure, Jan. That's why you showed up to their home with your boobs flopping out the side of your romper, because you don't want them in your business. Okay, got it. Well, let's move on to another boring couple. Guess who? Russ and Paula, also known as Russ and Pau. In case you have lost, electricity, eyesight, and or a connection to the outside world, because these assholes have basically been skywriting this shit all across the U.S., Paula and Russ are expecting a baby boy. Now, in real time, the kid is already here, but Paula's pregnancy leading up to the birth is as long as, like, Meghan Markle's. I personally would have been thrilled if Russ and Paula lived their fairy tale off my favorite show, but no, they're here to over-dramatize some shit, and the season is just going to be about Paula feeling like Russ's family doesn't like her. Welcome to being an in-law. Perfect transition to move on to a more exciting couple, Colt and Larissa. Now, first and foremost, let's revisit Larissa's most outrageous claim. She says she's only 32. Did we know this? What kind of Common Core Scott from Love After Lockup math is Larissa doing? I don't believe it. There's no way in hell she's only 32. Now, I also believe Colt has invested in some sort of, hear me out, a male binding contraption. You see, his boobs were riding low in that aubergine button-down shirt, but when he was wearing that light blue waffle knit tee, the long sleeve one, those babies were pack strapped and sucked in. I mean, Lord only knows the breasties that spilleth over when he rolls that thing down at the end of the day. Speaking of rolling down, Larissa is still rolling down the windows in the tin can she's riding shotgun in. Here we go. This bitch has the vertical stripe gall to side-eye Debbie while Debbie is driving her to and fro. How about get yourself a fucking Uber, you leech of a human? If you can't afford it, I have an idea. Continue to paint on those pants you're wearing and earn some dimes serving as the no passing lane lines on the strip. Jesus Christ. Not only does Larissa's entitlement piss me off, but so does her complete lack of fashion sense. Everyone knows Dorinda Medley is the only one who can pull off vertical stripes like that. And probably Judge Judy, because she's queen of all things. So here we are weeks after the wedding, and Larissa's being charged with domestic violence by the state of Nevada, even though Colt said that he didn't want to press any charges. So Larissa has found this super cute attorney who's got a little nameplate, you know, his Amazon Prime membership, you know, made it all worthwhile. And even though he has a name, I didn't write it down because I'm just going to call him Dustin because he's basically Janelle from Teen Mom's lawyer. They both have to bite their tongues so they don't scream, "You're guilty," at their own client. They both tell the crew, once their clients are out of bitch slap reach range, that they're in a shitload of trouble. Larissa could absolutely be prosecuted and deported based on the evidence that they have. And she can't take a plea deal because then she would have to plead guilty. And then, you know, she's saying she's guilty, so she's got to leave anyway. Now, this is going to sound really trivial in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, I notice details. And listen, we're all petty bitches here, especially in desperate times such as this. You know, would it kill Larissa to exfoliate? Maybe just a little chapstick on her lips. I mean, the heavy matte makeup and the overdrawn matte lips, like it actually made me physically thirsty. All you need, Larissa, just a little lotion, size of a dime, rub it in. That's all it takes. Now, while I'm giving tips, let's talk lettuce. What the hell is Debbie doing with that amount of romaine? I saw two large heads, even more in a gallon Ziploc bag, and she is ripping and tearing and chopping into these little bowls. Which, side note, I was actually really relieved to see that they were not using dog bowls like the McGee's on Seeking Sister Wife. But this all begs the question, why so much lettuce? Colt certainly is not the one eating this amount. You don't get double D's like that by existing on hearts of romaine alone. Perhaps it is the entire ass end of a cow that gives him a more mountainous northern region. A lot of girls in the 70s and 80s really would have had this little addendum to, "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret." Little footnote, we must increase our bust with a steak. Jesus Christ, Debbie, I don't know what butcher shop she went to, but that is not a steak. That was an anchor. And I'm telling you right now, I could out-eat, I'd say probably 85, actually, you know what, I'm more confident than that. I'm going to say I could out-eat 90% of the Greek fraternal chapters on any given campus. But I'll tell you what, with that steak, I would be pulling a John Candy with the old 96er in the great outdoors. There's no freaking way any human could eat that amount. So with that myth busted, it was very important to me. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Let's talk about victim Larissa. God, life sure is rough, isn't it? Living rent-free, having a personal driver, baby cows served medium rare nightly at your usual table. Shut the fuck up, Larissa. I mean, never mind why Debbie isn't eating. We've got bigger fish lips to fry at that table. We find out Larissa flushed her rings down the toilet. How fucking stupid are you? You know, you might think you're really sticking it to Colt, but you just screwed yourself, Larissa. I know that there is at least one pawn shop in Vegas because, hello, the show Pawn Stars. So she could have easily made herself some Uber money or some money to pay off her lawyers by selling those bands off. She's just a complete dumbass. Now, I'm not saying that I think Colt is a great guy either. I think he is smarmy. I think he's gross. He's buttery. He's smug. He's a mama's boy. He thinks way too highly of himself. We saw him at the reunion last season. But if anyone is a victim here, it's not Larissa. It's not Colt. It would have to be Debbie, hands down. Now let's jump ahead to Larissa laying in bed and Colt walking in, and he's reciting a classic dad joke. "Larissa, your charming, handsome, amazing husband is here." "You, Dad, stop. You're embarrassing us." Oh, it was so disgusting. Did you just feel that shiver up your spine? I think everyone did. And then to that, you know, hilarious entrance stage left, Colt says Larissa's trial is weighing heavy on her. Oh, that's cute. But no, that would be your breasticles. And you should really see a primary care physician about that and make sure, you know, you get to Planet Fitness often, because I saw the calendar hanging in the background. And I'm not dissing that. Go get your workout on, especially because they have like bagels and pizzas or something like that, right? Well, next we get to, can you tell I'm hungry? It's almost lunchtime. Talking about steaks and Planet Fitness. Maybe I'll just pop in there for a little tour and grab some bagels. Well, next we get to Larissa walking out of the house, and she asked to meet producers in the minivan, so you know shit is getting good. She said she's afraid for her life, and what she has to say cannot be overheard by Debbie or Colt or any of the cats. Dun, dun, dun. So what is she going to tell us? Well, I don't think it's really going to matter because we all know where they stand current day. And that's the only thing that I really hate about this is that I feel like they should just have a freeze on social media. Like no one is allowed to post anything until 6 months after airing. I know that sounds probably pretty unreasonable, but listen, I think we are worth it. Lastly, let's move on to Pedro and Chantel. My name is Chantel. I'm a slow-moving giraffe in human form, and for the talent portion of the competition, I will blink as slowly as my mother's brain synapses fire. This is where I really want to do a Pedro impersonation, but it's just going to sound really probably racist, and that is not my intent at all. I just truly love the way he says Dominican Republic. I adore him. The heart wants what the heart wants, okay? And I can tell you for a fact that I really think Pedro and I are simpatico based solely on the fact that we have the exact same pair of jeans and shoes. Yeah, I noticed it immediately, and so did my husband, okay? They shoot to him walking up the steps to meet Chantel at this place, and I was like, does Pedro have the same? And Dave was like, yeah, he's wearing the same outfit that you are today. Like, did we call each other Pedro? Did we plan this last night? Oh, Pepe. Now, we don't agree on everything, just basically that and our mutual hate for River. But come on, who doesn't hate River? But moving on, I don't know if it was just me, but I almost choked on my Aldi trail mix when Chantel said that they have been married for 2.5 years already. Like, when did that all happen? Maybe we all got punched upside the head with that IKEA chandelier and we blacked out for a year? Because I cannot believe it's been 2.5. And for the record, let's carve it into stone. River started the motherfucking fire. And no, I will not be watching Family Chantel because I think they're horrible people and I cannot support anything with them or for them. So back to our Pedro and Chantel. Thank Jesus Cristo, they are considering moving from Atlanta to Savannah. I would not want to live anywhere near Family Chantel. Think about it. You know Family Chantel are that asshole family in your neighborhood that's always pissing off, whether it's your homeowners association or the neighbors, because they find every goddamn thing offensive. You know, you put up a blow up Santa and, oh, you're Satanist for taking the Christ out of Christmas, or you're making fun of Chantel's boobs. You got a bright light on your garage door. Oh, you're insulting River's dull personality. Ugh. I know you know what I'm talking about. We all have those families in our buildings or our neighborhoods. Now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this bar singing between Pedro and Chantel, because I'm going to be honest with you. I want to believe them, but I don't. I think it read very fake to me. I can believe Chantel is that basic bitch asking for a fruity cranberry vodka like she's some mixologist now because she knows what Boone's Farm is. But I cannot believe Chantel when she keeps saying Pedro is the only one who needs to change. It's always his fault. There's no way she actually feels that way, or at least to the degree that she's playing it up on camera. That's like a basic commandment of marriage. You cannot convince me that Pedro and Chantel sleep in the same bed every night and they coexist with the amount of contempt that she is showing in that scene. Because Pedro is not that much of a pushover. He's got a machismo side to him, and he's not going to just let Chantel think that way about him every single day. I'm just not buying it. I do think when he started crying in the hotel room later, I think Chantel said something that went off script and it really truly hurt him, or Pedro really is good at acting and I completely fell for it. And I'm going to kind of refer to Colt and Larissa here. I put Pedro in the same category as Colt. I don't think he's a saint. I don't think it is all Chantel's fault. I just think Chantel is worse than Pedro. Like I said, let me know what you think. It read very fake to me, and I almost saw Chantel laugh and smile a couple times, especially in that scene coming up with her parents where someone throws something. She's got a big, stupid smile on her face. She moves slowly. You won't have to, like, blink twice and miss it. You'll see it. All right, so hopefully I will be seeing more of you. Remember to check out patreon.com/realitybpod. Also, Total Request Podcast. That's patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And Moms on the Rocks. All those links are in the show notes. Make sure you are checking in on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I definitely love to live tweet during these shows. That's just the most fun part. So head on over there. And until next time, stay salty.